So through this series, we've been opening the book of Hebrews. We're taking a big jump forward from last week, and we're going to jump to Hebrews 9 and looking at verses 24 to 28. As is the theme, we're looking here at some scripture that's speaking about Jesus as the high priest. It also contrasts him a bit with the priests that have come before. So let's read this together. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enter the most holy place every year with blood of another, then he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins for many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So as we continue through, if you have questions that come to mind, please keep them in your head or write them down or something, and I'll have an opportunity at the end for you to ask questions, because if there's, you know, there are some big ideas within this. And in that scripture that we just read, you know, it starts off with one incredibly long sentence, but there is so much wisdom within that. And I'm hoping to be able to help unpack it for you this evening as we work through it together. But please keep those questions if you have them so that you can get clarity if you're not understanding what we're looking at. So, as we said before, Jesus the real priest is the theme for us this evening. So that is a very dark theme for you, but this evening as we consider Jesus our priest. Last week we had Kirk teach that Jesus was a man like us and how important that is. And this week we're going to look at one of the other important roles that Jesus plays as a priest. That might not be exactly what you think of when you think about a priest, and this is probably more what you think of when you think of a priest. So often we tend not to picture Jesus straight away. But you know, this Catholic priest is sitting here. He's sitting in a confession booth. That's why it's kind of dark and moody going on in there. He's there to hear the sins of one of his congregants. This man is in a position where he believes that he sits between man and God. And that he will hear your sins and then he will seek forgiveness and be able to forgive you on behalf of God. That's kind of the picture that this Catholic priest hopes to portray. What we read today from Hebrews, though, actually suggests that we don't need this man anymore, that we don't need this priest that is between us and God. So if we want to seek God, we don't need a priest like this to intercede for us. What we see in the passage that we just read is that it speaks of Jesus as our high priest. A high priest, for anyone who doesn't understand that, which is totally fair, is very much an Old Testament idea. But you kind of think probably the modern equivalent would be like looking at the Catholic Pope. He's the priest which is the head of all the priests. He was, the passage contrasts Jesus with that high priest that came before him. And even, you know, there was a high priest in place when Jesus was around and Jesus was crucified. His name was Joseph Caiaphas. So priests, like the men in this picture, seek to be a connector between you and God. And as we're going to see, this is how it worked before Jesus came. There was restricted access to the Spirit of God, and Jesus coming is the thing that changed that. So Jesus is our high priest, and we're going to see that Jesus is much greater than this man or any of the high priests that came before him. So in order to understand what we're looking at, what we're talking about, Jesus a priest, and I said the idea of a high priest was an Old Testament idea. So I'm going to very quickly look at what a priest does so that we can understand the significance of what Jesus would do for us as high priest. Okay. So one of the biggest things that they did was offering an annual sacrifice to atone for sin. And that was really the most important role of the high priest. It happened once a year. For anyone interested in all the detail, it's spelled out in lots of detail in Leviticus chapter 16, but I won't go through it all for you tonight. But what I'll do is I'll kind of summarize it. So it involves a bull and two goats was this process that was taken as the sacrifice that was done annually. So once a year, it's the atonement of sins. So the bull was used as the forgiveness of sins for the high priest. Because before Jesus, the high priest was a sinful man. Like the river, he could stand before God without his sin removed. And part of his process would involve him going into the most holy place to stand before God. So he had to make a sacrifice atonement for his sin. Christ, on the other hand, was a sinless man. He doesn't require anything else outside of himself to allow him to stand before God. Christ paid for us without anything needing to be applied to him or dealt with his sin because he didn't have sin himself. So after the high priest was cleansed of his sin, he could then use the goats, and the goats were the a picture of atonement for the people of Israel. One of them became an offering to the Lord as a sin offering, and the other would have the sins of the people confessed over it, and then it was released out into the wilderness. So the second goat was a symbol of the sins being removed from God's people. And for anyone interested, this is where the term scapegoat comes from, because this goat had the sins put on it, and then it was, you know, left with those sins and sent off, which allowed the people of Israel to remove the sins from themselves. But you see that this offering required an offering to the Lord, which is a blood sacrifice. So that one, that goat was slain and offered to the Lord. And the other was the scapegoat, where it was an object for the sins of the people to be put onto. Okay. So let's read another portion of this passage so we can have a look at this being referred to within the passage. So it says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another." So this most holy place that it speaks about is where the sacrifices were made. So this here is kind of a drawing of what the temple would have looked like. Now, remember, this temple was described as an imitation of heaven and by the writer of Hebrews. So there was a certain portion of this which was restricted to all the people. You can see in the drawing there, the section at the back that's surrounded by a curtain, that section was only entered by the high priest, and he was only entered once a year. That section is where, especially the section right at the back, which had another curtain in front of it, so the curtain here, and behind it, the Holy of Holies, as it refers to it on there, that section was where the Spirit of God dwelled. The Ark of the Covenant was kept in there, and it would only be entered once a year, and the priest would never dare enter that space without having made a sacrifice for his sins before entering into that space. Here we can see another picture of what the holy place might have looked like. And as we read in the scripture, Jesus actually never entered this holy place. It says that he never entered the holy place made from hands, and that this was simply an imitation of heaven, where Jesus is now. So where Jesus now dwells in heaven, he is with God, and there he is able to intercede for us. So now we know that the priest was there to make atonement for sins, that he had this really important role to be able to bring the sacrifice that would make atonement for sins and seek forgiveness of the sins of God's people. So it's important for us then to look at and just, you know, really clarify who Jesus was and whether he really is our high priest, because we need to rely on him for this forgiveness of sin. So we'll look a bit further, a bit earlier, sorry, in the book of Hebrew, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. And it speaks more here about Jesus as the high priest. It's a really clear declaration of him in that position. Okay, so it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And last week, when Kirk was teaching, he was talking about Jesus as a man like us, and he was teaching about why that was important. And it is very important, but it's also a real comfort to us as well. I mean, here when it talks about Jesus as the high priest, it's talking about us being able to come to God and come to God through Jesus, who understands what it is like to be a man. I know that I'm a weak person. I struggle with things. You know, there's temptation, and we get sick. We'll go through times when we lose loved ones, and we're generally exposed to the world around us and the challenges that come with that. And when we come to our high priest and we seek forgiveness of our sins and we seek support from him, we're not coming to a God who doesn't understand what that is like. So when we come and we confess our sins to our priest, and that being Jesus, we're coming to a priest that actually experienced temptation, that understands what that is like. Now, he didn't give in like we do, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't understand and have sympathy for us in that position and try and help us there. So Christ is a priest who so desired to help us that not only does he now intercede for us, but he came and actually made himself the sacrifice. So not only is he the priest that we need, but when we talked about the sacrifice, there was the scapegoat that the sins of the people were put onto, and there was the sacrifice to the Lord of blood. And Christ fulfilled all of that. Christ was that sacrifice. So not only is he the priest that's able to intercede, but he also took the place of that sacrifice as well. So because of Christ and his perfection and the completeness of his sacrifice, it's more than just the annual atonement that the priests did previously. So why do we need Jesus as our high priest? And now this is really the core question that our passage this evening is going to answer. So let's look again at the passage and we'll look at some key areas where we can start to see some of this coming together. So for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another, then he would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So there are some big ideas in here that I want us to look at. You know, we need to look at where God is now. So that first one there, Christ, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So we need Jesus as our high priest because he will appear for us in the presence of his Father God. He is appearing as the high priest appeared before God in the most holy place in the Old Testament. Except he's there all the time. He doesn't have to wait for that annual atonement. He brings God the sacrifice required for the atonement of our sins. As the high priest took the goats as a sacrifice to sin in the Old Testament, he himself was a sacrifice for our sin. The other reason that we need him is directly related to this. It is appointed for me to die once, but after this, the judgment. So it's appointed for all of us to die. I hope that's not the portion in here that's new news to all of you. But it's something that we do need to face and remember. We are all going to die one way or another, sometime that we will not know. Could be 40 years, 40 days, could even be tonight. God is the only one who knows the time of our death, and we don't. But what we can know from this passage is what comes after. It doesn't say when, but it says what happens after. So it says that it is appointed for us to die once, but after that, the judgment. On our own, you know, when we die, we come before God, and he is perfect, he is righteous, and he is just. And he's like a judge in a courtroom when we come before him, and justice has to be done. We need to account for our sins. The sacrifice we spoke about can account for our sins, but on our own and in our own strength, and with ourselves, we can't account for those sins. We don't have an answer for him. In the Old Testament, their hope was in the religious process of having a high priest make sacrifice of the goats for their sins and taking part in that, and that that would cleanse God's people of their sin. But now we have a hope that is more permanent. It says that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. We find in our passage the hope that we were looking for. It says in there that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Like the goats who bore the sins of the people in the Old Testament, Christ bore our sins when he was crucified on the cross. He was the scapegoat that took the sin for God's people, and his blood was shed as an atonement and an offering to God before God. Christ, however, rose again, and he is in the presence of God, as we said. But this is God, the judge, as well, and he will attest for us before God. Note as well that this doesn't say that Christ offered himself to bear the sins of all people regardless. You know, this isn't, you know, many people believe that Christ died and that means that all people are going to be right before God, no matter their belief or ideas. But this isn't what Scripture says. The reason it doesn't say that, and we look at the Old Testament, when they came and they gave an offering and they offered the goats, they weren't offering for everybody, they were offering for God's people, the people of Israel. And so that was where they were seeking forgiveness from God for sin. And as Christ went to the cross, he was going to the cross for God's people. And for all of us who would come after him, he went to the cross for all of us. So there is a qualification for this. And we actually see a little bit about that further on in the scripture. And it says, to those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin and for salvation. So Jesus didn't atone for the sin of everybody. He didn't die for that. Just as the Old Testament priests didn't make sacrifice for everybody, they made sacrifice for God's people. Jesus, as our high priest, gave himself as a sacrifice, one time, for those who are God's people, for those who repent of their sins and trust in him, those who will eagerly wait for him. Jesus will come again, apart from sin, for salvation. We can find salvation in Christ because he was man, because he was sinless, and because he was the perfect sacrifice. And we can seek forgiveness through him because he is our high priest who advocates for us to God, if we are one of his people.